this morning. Amen. 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 How do we get out of this, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Your word is the truth that makes us free. Amen. Your word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word, your precious word. Your word is food for our spirit man, for you said in to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, so it feeds our spirits. Glory to God. Your word is profitable to help us, to strengthen us, to correct us, to give us correct doctrine. Glory to God. Your word makes us wiser than our enemies. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. Glory to God. Your word, glory to God, hallelujah, renews our minds. So we receive the implanted word, the word sown into our hearts that is able to save, to heal, to deliver our souls, our minds, our will, our emotions. And so we thank you for all the benefits of your precious holy word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse number 5. I was talking and didn't turn there. Romans 8, 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. On Sunday mornings, we've been talking about how to experience real and lasting victory. This is a series. This is part 5. We want to conclude that series this morning. Actually, because we had a guest speaker last Sunday morning, and then I missed the previous 2 Sunday mornings. It's been a month since I've, preached to you on Sunday mornings. But we want to conclude this message on real and lasting victory. And bottom line, we've said the way to get real and lasting victory is to put right things in your heart and to keep wrong things out of your heart. I mean, it really is that simple if you analyze it. Put right things in your heart and keep wrong things out of your heart. Well, God's Word, the Bible, what God says about anything, and God has something to say about every area of our life, whatever God says about our life is the right thing to put in our heart. Glory to God. Amen. It's the right thing to believe. It's the right thing to live by. It's the right thing to practice in everyday reality. Can you say amen? Praise God. See, knowing and believing what the Word actually says is what makes all the difference in your life. I mean, everybody say what it actually says. See, what it actually says, that's what counts. Not what grandma told you it said, not what this denomination told you it said, not what I told you that it said, but what the Word of God actually says and what you know it actually says for yourself, that's what makes all the difference in your life. Glory to God. Somebody else may know it. Somebody else may say it, but that won't help you. It's what you know for yourself. Glory to God. And when you know what it really says for yourself, and then you're a doer of that word, glory to God, that's what matters. That's what counts. Because believing the word, acting on the word, confessing the word, living by the word, putting it into practice in your life, glory to God, makes all the difference. So we should intentionally and aggressively put God's word in our hearts. Can't be haphazard about it. You can't be slack about it. You got to purposely, intentionally, and be aggressive about it. Put God's word in your heart. And we do that by finding out what God's word says. Find out what it says about your money. Find out what it says about your marriage. Find out what it says about child training. Find out what it says about your relationships. Find out what it says about your place in the body of Christ. Find out what it says about your mind and emotions and on and on and on. Find out what it says. Then study it and meditate on those truths and build them into your system. Build them into your heart. Get them deep in your heart. Praise God. At the same time, we must aggressively, everybody say aggressively. Aggressively. At the same time, we must aggressively keep out any wrong thoughts that the devil suggests to our mind or that he brings to our minds. And he does that a number of different ways. We have literally thousands of thoughts come to our mind every day. Thoughts are triggered by memories. Thoughts are triggered by what? By your senses. Thoughts are triggered because you see something. Thoughts are triggered because somebody said something. The devil himself can come and suggest something to your mind and on and on and on. And you remember. So we have to cast down those wrong thoughts and deal with those wrong thoughts and remember. We said that a wrong thought is any thought Any thought that is not in line with the Bible, any thought that's not in line with God's Word is a wrong thought. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, sinful thoughts are certainly not in line with the Word of God. But, you know, doubt thoughts are not in line with God's Word. Fear thoughts are not in line with God's Word. You know, thoughts that tell you you can't do what God tells you you can do, that's not in line with God's Word. See, the thoughts that doubt God's Word or that challenge God's Word because of what your reasoning tells you or because of your feelings, you know, those are wrong thoughts. Those are fleshly thoughts. Those are carnal thoughts. Amen? A carnal thought is a wrong thought. And carnal thoughts certainly include unholy thoughts. But here's what people haven't understood. What the Bible calls carnal or fleshly thoughts, those are thoughts made up of natural reasonings, logical reasonings, arguments, emotions, feelings that you have that contradict the truth of God's Word. Nothing, you know, those kind of thoughts come to all of us. What makes them carnal is if you accept them. If you accept something over God's Word, see, then that's carnal thinking. Certainly if you're thinking some kind of lustful thought, that's carnal thinking, fleshly thinking. But if you think something that's not in line with God's Word, or if you believe something more than you believe God's Word, that is carnal thinking. And because, you know, we're going to go back to that scripture, you know, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded brings life and peace. Glory to God. So if a Christian is acting and talking in a sinful way, we say they're carnal. You know, they're just fleshly. They're... Bob Oliver used to say, he's carnal as a goat. You know, they're just acting like, you know, they're just ruled by their passions and ruled by their emotions. But Christians who believe what their senses and emotions tell them instead of believing God's Word, that's being carnal. You understand that? In other words, if I'm ruled by my emotions, if I'm ruled by my senses, instead of being ruled by the Word of God, then that's fleshly thinking. That's carnal thinking. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is just symbolic or representative of all your senses. So your senses feed information into your mind. You put it together and you reason things out and you logically come up to conclusions, which is fine. We do that every day long to survive and live in this world. But when those thoughts, even if they're logical and reasonable, when they contradict God's Word, we're to reject those thoughts and go with God. And so that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God." We have mighty weapons. Instead of talking about about how the devil's doing and how he can easily defeat us, we got to talk about our mighty weapons. We have the name of Jesus. We have the Word of God. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shield of faith. We have the blood of Jesus. Praise God. We have mighty weapons. Our weapons are mighty. They're not carnal. They're not natural or fleshly, but mighty to God to pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is something that's like within the castle, the deepest, darkest prison where you keep the prisoner. That's a stronghold. He's held captive there and can't get out. So the devil wants to build these strongholds into our minds. And so we're to cast down arguments. That's the New King James. The King James says imaginations. We're to cast down arguments and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, and that word thought includes our emotions, bringing every thought and every emotion into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So as you study this out, arguments, thoughts, imaginations, those words in the Greek mean logical thinking, reasonings of the mind, insinuations, emotional feelings. So any insinuation, any emotion, any logical thinking based on what your senses tell you and based on how you feel or based on natural facts that are not in line with the Word of God, they are not the truth. Glory to God. You see, well, somebody says, well, you have to understand something can be a natural fact, but it's not the truth. Because natural facts only deal with the natural. But there is another realm. There is a real, genuine spiritual realm. The spiritual realm, that's where God lives. That's where Jesus lives. That's where the angels are. That realm existed before this natural world ever came into being. And when this natural world is all blown up, glory to God, the spiritual realm and God will still exist. What God says is spiritual truth. And spiritual truth is more important than natural fact. And spiritual truth, when believed, overcomes and changes natural facts. An easy to understand illustration of this is, you remember Elisha? Elisha had a servant, and because he had been telling the king all the plans of the enemy, he knew that by the Spirit of God. You know, the enemy army said, we got to go get that prophet. So they came to get Elisha. You can read this in 2 Kings chapter 6. And so he came to get it. And so they were, so his servant went out, Elisha's servant went out, and he looked up, and he was, an entire army was on the hill, so to speak, surrounding him. An entire army came to get one man, that one prophet. And so he went back in, and he said, alas. That's not what you would say today, is he? He went, I don't know what he would say today, but he went, you know, we're in deep trouble here, dude. There's an entire army out there surrounding us. And Elisha said to him, do not fear. There's more with us than be with them. And he went, one, two, an entire army. How is there more with us? It was a natural fact that there was more against them. But Elisha said, open up his spiritual eye. You don't know everything. You can't make a reasonable decision, a logical decision, not really, until you consider all the facts. And you don't have all the truth, all the facts, until you consider what God's Word says. And so Elisha says, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Open his spiritual eyes. And when his spiritual eyes were opened, he saw just as it was more real than the natural. He saw that in the spiritual realm, there was a heavenly host, a heavenly army that surrounded that natural army. And you know, you read in one scripture in the Old Testament where one angel killed 185,000 men, just one. And that doesn't mean that that's all he could do. And so the facts were, the natural facts were, they were surrounded by an enemy army and there was no help for them. And you could have took the greatest minds that have ever existed from the past, from the present to the future, get the greatest minds that ever lived on the face of the earth and brought them to where Elisha was with his servant. And you could have given the greatest instruments. You could have sent the hurricane hunters out there to look over the enemy army. You could have had the greatest instrumentation known to mankind. And they would have come back and said, it is a fact. It is a fact. You are outnumbered. There's a whole army against you. There's not more than with you, but they would have been wrong. Because the truth was, there was a whole heavenly host out there, and that heavenly host did defend Elisha. You know the story. And that enemy army was defeated. Praise God. When the doctors told me that I had cancer, they weren't lying to me. When people come along and say, you know, there's hundreds of syndromes these days. They got this syndrome. They got that syndrome. They're not necessarily lying to people. That's a natural fact, but it's not necessarily the truth. Amen. See, the doctor said, you have cancer. The test showed that I had cancer. And the natural fact was I had cancer. But the Word of God said, the spiritual truth said, by His stripes you were and you are healed. Now, That truth won't change natural facts until you believe it. But when you believe the truth, it changes natural facts. Praise God. So just because something's a fact doesn't mean it's the absolute truth. What God says. You have to, and you're not really being, and from my point of view, you're not being intelligent. You're not being logical. You're not being reasonable until you consider everything. And if you only consider natural truths, then you don't have the whole truth. Can you say amen? Amen. And so he's telling us, he's saying, look, any kind of argument, any kind of reasoning, any kind of thought, any kind of emotion that comes to your mind that's not in line with the truth, that's not in line with the Bible, then you are to cast it down. You are to pull it down. And as we pointed out, the words casting down and pull down there means to totally demolish and destroy, to pull apart. You're to pull it apart. You're to pull it down. You're to take it captive. You're to take it captive and force it to surrender to the truth of God's word. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. And that's the greatest scripture I know on our minds right there and the key to victory. So when a Christian is ruled, though, by fleshly desires and fleshly passions, and they're carnal. But when a Christian is ruled, and so when a Christian is ruled by their senses and emotions and mental reasonings instead of the Word of God, the Bible says they are carnal, they are flesh ruled. Now with that in mind, let's reread Romans 8, 5, and 6. You out there? You okay? You with me? Romans 5, for to those who live according to the flesh, set their mind. In other words, if you're living according to the flesh, it's because you've been setting your thoughts, you've been setting your minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live, you know, behave, act in accordance with the Spirit, it's because they've been setting their thoughts, their minds on what the Spirit says. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Amplified Bible, Romans 8, 5 says, for those who live, those who are living according to the flesh and are controlled by it, it's because they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Did you get that? But those who are living according to and are controlled by, if you're living according to the Spirit, if you're controlled by the Spirit, I'm adding this because, but it's because you set your minds on the things of the Spirit. So this verse is very clearly telling us that if we are carnal, if we live according to the flesh, if we're controlled by fleshly impulses and carnal thinking and desires and ways of thinking, it's because we have our thoughts fixed on and consumed with fleshly thinking and wrong thinking. So the key goes back to, what are you thinking? The New International Version says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. This is very interesting from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, for those who identify with their old nature. Identify. You know, every Christian program that deals with people that have addictive behavior, they endeavor to teach them to quit identifying with who they used to be apart from Christ before they were saved. Quit identifying with your problem. Start identifying with who you are in Christ. Identify with who and what the Bible says you are. So the Jerusalem Bible says, for those who identify with their old nature, or a better translation would be the flesh, but for those who identify with their old nature, it's because they set their minds on the things of the flesh or the old nature. But those who identify with the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So once again, we see a scripture that tells us that thoughts, good or bad, that we allow to take root in our hearts. Just because a thought comes to your mind doesn't mean it takes root in your heart. Amen. But if we dwell on it, meditate on it, and entertain it, then it will get in our system. It'll take root in our hearts. It says, so thoughts, good or bad, that we allow to take root in our hearts because we entertain them and fix our minds on them, that's what's controlling our lives. That's what's determining our behavior. That's what's determining our words. That's what's determining our interests. That's what's determining our desires. That's what's determining the direction that we go in life. Praise God. Amen. So we can say it this way, what captures your attention controls your life. Now, just because a thought comes to your mind doesn't mean it captures your attention. But if you dwell on it and think on it long enough, it will capture your attention. We can say it this way, thoughts, good or bad, determine the direction of our lives. Amen. So it goes on to say in verse 6, now watch this carefully, for to be carnally minded, to think in line with your senses and your emotions and thoughts instead of the Word of God. For to be carnally minded is death. Death in the Bible is not always talking about physical death. You know, the Bible talks about the second death. Amen. The Bible talks about spiritual. Spiritual death means you're walking around physically alive, but you've never been born again. You are spiritually dead. The second death is when somebody dies and they're not born again, then they are eternally lost. That's called the second death. Death in the Bible also means you're experiencing in everyday life the effects and wages of sin and death. You understand? And that's what this is referring to. To be carnally minded is death. In other words, here it refers to the wages of sin or the effects of sin, which would include things like depression and sickness and poverty and lack and a low quality of life and anger and fear and hatred and shame and loneliness and absence of peace and joy and happiness and everything else that sin produces. That's experiencing death in this life. You follow me? Praise God. And if you're carnally minded, he said, it's going to manifest in some sort of, you know, problem. So the classic Amplified Bible says, watch this. Now the mind of the flesh, to be carnally minded, the mind of the flesh is death. Then it says, death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. In other words, all the things that you're experiencing, that's the wages of death. That's what sin is producing. He says, both here and hereafter. Glory to God. So the New Living Translation says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, and what death produces, all that misery and pain and relationship problems and financial problems, known and known and known. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life. And I never noticed this before as much as I should have, Sherry. It says leads to life and peace. Not just life, but life and peace. Did you see that? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so the complete Jewish Bible says life and shalom. What is shalom? Oh, that's a wonderful Hebrew word. It's really tantamount to our New Testament word salvation. It's where you're totally blessed and provided for and taken care of. So to be spiritually minded, because you've set your thoughts on the things of the Word, in other words, leads to life and peace. Right thinking leads to well-being, total well-being and health and wholeness and safety and success and peace and happiness and joy. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So not only do our thoughts, good or bad, control and direct our lives, but also the quality of our life is determined by the thoughts we receive and entertain. The quality of our lives. Now, real quickly, and this won't take long, I want to give you two little proverbs, two little formulas, two little sayings, two little maxims, I don't know what you would call these, to help you take wrong thoughts captive. These are real easy to remember, two little proverbs, two little formulas. They're real easy to understand because if we don't take our thoughts captive, then our thoughts will take us captive. And it does require diligence, and it does require effort, and it does require willpower because we have the flesh to deal with and contend with the rest of our life. I wish that I could tell you that you could arrive at a certain stage of spirituality, that you could grow enough in your faith, that you could believe God enough and be such a powerful prayer warrior that you'd get to the point where your flesh never bothered you again. But that's not going to happen. No, the devil is defeated, but he's not dead. And he's not yet been cast into the lake of fire. And so as long as we're alive in this earth, we're going to have the flesh to contend with and we're going to have the devil to contend with. But thank God we can do what the Word of God says. And one of the great keys is to control our minds. Amen. Now understand this as we look at the first one. Let's listen to this. When we talk about wrong thoughts lead to one of two things. Wrong thoughts lead to wrong desires. Now, if a desire actually gets in you, now just because a thought comes across your mind doesn't mean you have a wrong desire. Just because, you know, you can be tempted, but that doesn't mean you... But if a wrong thought actually gets in you, and how does it get in you? Because you think on it, you meditate on it, you dwell on it, you entertain it. And if a wrong thought gets in you and leads to a desire or an appetite, then sooner or later, it's going to manifest. It's going to come out through your words. It's going to come out. You're going to say something you shouldn't say. You're going to do something you shouldn't say. You're going to act in a way you should. It's going to come out. Amen. But that's not the only thing wrong thoughts lead. Wrong thoughts also lead to wrong beliefs. The devil does not want you to know the truth. He does not want you to believe the truth. He holds millions and millions of Christians who are sincere and who love God bound in almost every way possible because they believe the wrong thing. And so he comes in and suggests, you know, that this whole thing started because he came and told Adam and Eve, did God really say? In other words, he suggested a thought to them. Amen. And they entertained that wrong thing. So here's the formula, which you understand that. The first little proverb here deals with having unholy desires and interest. And oh, I've talked to so many Christians over the years. They've wept in my office. They've been so discouraged because they love God and they want to live holy and they want to live right, but they're bothered by some particular sin in some particular area. You know, they can't control their anger or they can't control this or that or the other. But so understand this. This deals with having unholy desires and interests, and it's very simple. I came up with this many years ago, but attention leads to appetite. Appetite is desire. Attention leads to appetite, and appetite leads to action. Attention leads to appetite, and appetite leads to action. Now, when I talk about attention, I'm talking about what you give attention to. Just because a thought comes to your mind doesn't mean you reject that thought. You didn't give it your attention. You cast it down. You bring it into submission to God's word. It didn't have your attention. But if something captures your attention and you think on it and you meditate on it and you dwell on it and you entertain it, then it leads to appetite. And I should say, I learned this from other people, but I discovered this truth. But appetite leads to attention. And then once something gets in your heart as an appetite, as a desire, sooner or later, you're going to act on it. So let me just read to you this. Passing thoughts of all kind may come and to my mind, come and go, but we don't have to own those thoughts. You don't have to take ownership of them. We don't have to accept them. You don't have to allow them to go unchecked in your mind. You don't have to give them your attention. You don't have to entertain them. It's an old saying. I didn't invent it. Somebody you heard preach it 30 years ago didn't invent it. It goes back hundreds of years, but we can't help it that birds fly over our head, but you can keep one from building a nest in your hair. So the most holy saint of God that ever lived has thoughts come to their minds that their heart resents. But you can't help who comes and knocks on your door. Anybody could come knock on your door. But you don't have to invite them in and feed them tea and biscuits or whatever, crumpets, I don't know, and entertain them. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So when we entertain or dwell on or meditate some thought, good or bad, that's when it captures our attention. Well, that's why the Word of God talks so much about meditating in the Word. Because when you meditate in it, it captures your attention. And then you have a desire for right things. You have a desire for holy things. So you meditate in God's Word. Glory to God. And when some thought has our attention, when it's captured our attention, when we've taken ownership of it, it becomes a desire. And that appetite, that desire, will eventually manifest in words. Next thing you know, some guy's at the store and he's saying something to the little girl cashier that he shouldn't be saying. Or somebody explodes on their spouse with hateful words or angry words because they've been thinking on it. It got in their heart. Once it got in, it's coming out. Amen. So that appetite will eventually manifest in some sort of behavior or in some sort of action. The process, everybody say process. The process all starts with some thought that we gave our attention to. So, very important, think about this. We determine what is controlling our behavior. Watch this. We determine what is controlling our behavior. We determine what's controlling our interest. We can determine what's controlling our actions and our words by. Now, if I use by like that, that means that this is the way you achieve something. This is the way you do it. We determine what's controlling our behavior by what we give attention to and by what we entertain. And we're not just talking about, working something up in the flesh or doing something naturally or human psychology. We're talking about this is what the wisdom of God, the Word of God, told us as born-again Christians who have what we could never do for ourselves. We have been set free by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. But now He says, I need you to do something with your minds. And if you'll control your minds, then you'll experience life and peace. So we determine what's controlling our behavior, our interests, our actions, our words, by what we entertain and give attention to. Amen. Attention, glory to God, leads to appetite, and appetite leads to action. No wonder the Word of God tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Not just guard it, but do it diligently. To cast down wrong thoughts and imaginations. To meditate in the Word of God day and night. To renew our minds to the truth of God's Word. And to only think things that are pure and honest and wholesome. And to set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And on and on and on. No wonder the Word of God tells us that. And then here's the last little thing. And I'm going to say some things here. I'm going to give you the three E's. The three E's to control in your mind. I can give you those three E's in 30 seconds, but I'm going to talk 5 minutes before I give you the three E's, all right? Here's a little three-step guide or formula to taking wrong thoughts captive, to overcoming any stronghold a wrong thinking that has already been established in your mind and grown into a stronghold. See, when a wrong thought comes to your mind, either directly or indirectly, it's the devil trying to establish a stronghold in your mind to start the process, or he's trying to reinforce a stronghold that's already been established. So the three E's. And these three E's come from our good friend, you know, Pastor Eddie Turner, right straight out of his book. Amen. Glory to God. And before I want to give it to you, I want to read something that he said, because I really feel by the Spirit this is going to help some people. Now, you remember, Eddie was bound by fear, Eddie was bound by lust, and Eddie was bound by condemnation to the point that he's a pastor, but he almost can't leave his house. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Eddie twice about this and about dealing with thoughts. But here's what Eddie says. He says, because I had allowed wrong thinking to roam freely in my mind for many years, it was a slow, diligent task of taking every thought captive, and it was difficult. See, I mean, I know we won't turn around and breakthrough and miracle instant, but Eddie's just saying, listen, this took some diligence. This took some hard work. My mind welcomed and used lustful thinking and fantasy as an escape, and I didn't win the battle every day. He's talking about, I didn't know what to do. Once I found out what the truth was, now I had to act on that truth, and I had to do it. I had to do the things we're talking about, not dwell on thoughts, reject thoughts, replace wrong thoughts with good thoughts, and so forth. And he said, I didn't win the battle every day, but he didn't give up, and he didn't quit, and he didn't allow the devil to beat him up with guilt and condemnation. And he says, without question, freedom is available. Everybody say, thank God. Though it comes with a fight. It is a fight we're definitely not in alone. As children of God, we have mighty supernatural weapons, so formidable they can demolish any stronghold of Satan. This is fantastic news and a truth we must boldly believe and declare. We can rejoice that no one is beyond God's help. No one, ever. Our victory is all about learning to wield the mighty weaponry God has given us. The very nature of the word stronghold, which Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 10, lets us know that effort and determination has been exerted against us to imprison us. Likewise, it will take effort and determination to be free from this prison. The effort and determination I refer to is not just physical strength or willpower. Millions have failed just trying to do it in their own willpower. But the diligence to use and do what God tells us to do to walk in liberty, even and to be diligent about it, even more than the devil has been diligent to harass and imprison us. Amen. Every day, all day, my mind was bombarded with thoughts of quitting, giving in, and giving up. Many times I entertained thoughts of ending my life because the promises of God of peace and of a sound mind seemed so far removed from the reality I was facing. But I resolved that I would not give up or give in. Can you say amen? If your mind or pattern of thinking has been programmed the wrong way for years, you will need to renew your mind to think in line with God's Word. It will require time and discipline, but it will be a gateway to God's best for you in every area of your life. As I was faithful to do these three things, the three E's, my thinking began to change. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen without some failures. But you know, just because you get knocked down in a fight doesn't mean you've lost the fight. But after several months, I took back control of my life. Amen. And he did it by doing what he calls the three E's. These three E's are nothing I haven't taught you 1,000 times. But it's a little easy formula that's helpful and easy to understand. Three E's. What's number one E? Evaluate every thought. Evaluate every thought. If the thought is unhealthy, if the thought is ungodly, if the thought is out of line with God's Word in any way, then immediately recognize that so you can deal with it and not allow it to go unchecked. So evaluate every thought. Number two, eject unhealthy thoughts. You've evaluated it. You said this is unhealthy. This is not good. This is not in line with God's Word. This doesn't bring peace. See, all of that's in violation of God's Word. And so once you discover that thought or that thought pattern is unhealthy or wrong, then immediately and forcefully reject it and refuse to entertain it. Pull it apart. Demolish it. Destroy it. Amen. And then number three, entertain God thoughts. Entertain God's thoughts. Glory to God. In other words, replace wrong thoughts with God's Word. Fear thought comes to your mind, you know, something's bad going to happen to your wife as she's driving down the road. No, I reject that in the name. I evaluate that's not from God. I reject it. Then I immediately begin to say, God gives his angels charge over my wife to protect her and deliver her, and no harm shall come to her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I'm replacing the wrong thought with a godly thought. Philippians 4:8, such a powerful scripture. We've read it and not really read it like we should have. Amplified Bible. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good report, if there's any excellent, if there's any worthy of praise, think continually on these things, center your mind on them, and implant them in your heart. So in other words, if it doesn't bring peace, if it's not honorable, if it's not worthy of respect, so forth, then don't think it. I like the message. It just simply says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. See, if it's ugly, don't think on it. Think on the beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Glory to God. And then Colossians 3:2, King James, set your affection. Literally, the word in the Greek is your mind. Set your mind, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So Pastor Eddie says the three E's. Evaluate, reject, evaluate, eject, and entertain. He says, change my life and will change yours also. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Come on up, guys. Come on up, guys. Let's worship God just a moment. Stand up with us. Stand up with us. Thank God. You know, thank God we're not without help. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the truth that makes us free. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus said, I will not leave you like orphans. I've been to the Ukraine where literally on the streets were four-year-olds trying to fend for themselves. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. But they were there. I saw them. Four-year-olds, five-year-olds, six-year-olds fending for themselves. Jesus is saying, I won't leave you like an orphan, which was a bigger problem in his day than it is in our day. But an orphan it doesn't have any comfort. They don't have any help. They don't have any guidance. They don't have anybody to provide for them and take care of them. He said, I will not leave you like a helpless orphan. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. He will be your comforter. He will be your helper. He will give you strength. He'll do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And so thank God for the Holy Ghost. Let's worship God and let's remember that we are not helpless. Let's remember that greater is He that's on the inside of us than He that's in the world. Let's remember if you've been struggling with something for recently or been struggling something for 25 years. Let's thank God for the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Spirit pour out what the Bible calls living water. That means the water is a type of the Holy Ghost. That's water to give you life, spiritual life, to deliver you, to heal you, to help you, to make your mind whole again, praise God, and to make every area of your life whole again. Let's sing this together, praise God. Worship God.
Let your living water,
yes,
flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation,
yes,
that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens onto you I roll. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Sing it to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit work.
Take soul. Let him take you in his arms,
yes,
and make you whole. As you give your life to him, he will set you free. You will live and reign with him eternally.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Let's sing it again. Jesus, Jesus, do, Jesus, what only you can do. Come, Holy Spirit, and take control. Praise God.
Father, Father,
to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I like that. Give your life to Jesus. You know, even as a Christian, you can give parts of your life back to Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Let him take you in his arms and make you whole. As you give your life to him, he will set you free, and you will live and reign with him eternally. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you can do some living and reigning down here on the earth. It's not just pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. It can be good in the rotten here and now. The Bible says, for godliness is profitable unto all things, unto the life that is to come and the life that now is. The life that now is right now, praise God. Free in our minds, free in our relationships, free in our bodies. Free, 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 free. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last because of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. If you're saved and you know it, lift your hand. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad? I said, aren't you glad? Now, when I know what to do with my mind, nobody else can do it for me. Amen. I can't think for you. I wish you could think for me. I'd just take about You know, we'd give every one of you just an hour a day. You think for me that hour, and I just never have to do any thinking. But how many of you know it doesn't work like that? Praise God, hallelujah. But victory is ours. Victory belongs to us, Jack. Praise God. Say, victory is mine. And I am free. According to the word of God. I don't care what it seems like. I don't care what it feels like. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I right now have. I'm not trying to get, but by faith, I right now have what God says I have. And I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I believe God. I believe God's word. Amen. Now shout about that just a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's go out singing that song. You're dismissed. Let's go out singing that song.
Jesus.
Jesus.